same vein. And it's something how the Lord puts that together. But I want to look here in Romans chapter 15. And I'm not going to put in here, but really from verse 13, I mean, I wouldn't argue with anybody, but for really around verse number 13 through the end of the book is pretty basically the conclusion of Romans. That's really kind of where we've got to now. We're kind of getting this personal conclusion from the Apostle Paul. He's writing and concluding this letter and kind of bringing it all down. And don't let that cause you to miss what's here, though, because it's jam-packed with great doctrine and great helpful things for us in our Christian lives. Amen? And so look with me in Romans chapter 15. I'll not ask you to stand tonight. We'll just read a few verses and then give you the thought tonight. But in Romans chapter 15, look with me in verse number 15. Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through my mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." And I'm going to end off reading there. And as again, we're kind of coming down to the conclusion of the letter. But right here, what we've kind of seen is the past, I guess, few messages out of the book of Romans, kind of in the first part, really from chapter 1 of chapter 14, all of chapter 14, and then the beginning of chapter 15, we kind of saw that ministry of the strong, the ministry of those who are strong in faith, dealing with receiving those that are weaker in faith. But then in verse 1 of chapter 15, even going a step further to not just receiving those that are weak in the faith, but actually bearing their infirmities. And so we have the ministry of the strong. And then in verse 7 down through verse number 14, we saw the ministry of the Savior. And we look at Christ and look at His ministry towards the Jew. And really that's what He came. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Of course, we know that He saved Gentiles. And the Lord has always worked outside of the dispensation that He's in. We're dispensationalists, but we're not hyper-dispensationalists. Amen? And in other words, Christ came to the Jew. He came to the lost sheep. He came to the circumcision, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But He did save a Syrophoenician woman. Amen? And He did save a Samaritan woman. And He saved many of the Gentiles. Amen? And so, you know, I mean, they were outside of that dispensation, so to speak, but God still dealt with them and saved them. He'll save anybody that'll come for mercy. Anybody that come in repentance and faith, God will save. Amen? And so we see that, see His ministry to the circumcision, the ministry of the Savior. But then what we see now kind of in verses 15, kind of down through the end of the chapter, we see the ministry of the minister. And the Apostle Paul begins to kind of go into detail regarding his own ministry, and specifically in contrast to Christ's ministry to the Jew, he goes into how he is the minister to the Gentile, to kind of contrast that and show that he is the minister and he was the call, he's the apostle to the Gentile. And what we have here in these verses that we've just read, verse 15 down through verse number 21, is what we have is a great look at New Testament missions as we look at the Apostle Paul's ministry. And so New Testament missions. I actually want to preach on this thought tonight on the commission of missions. Sunday night, we dealt with the commission of the Christian. Tonight, we'll look at the commission of missions. Because, you know, this thing of New Testament missions, what the Apostle Paul was doing, preaching the gospel and getting the gospel out, that is our mission. That's your mission. That's still our mission today. And Brother Ernest said it in praying. It is true. We are victims of prophecy. These days have to come, the days that we're in. But that doesn't mean we don't walk in victory. And it doesn't mean we don't keep on fulfilling our mission. Amen. As a matter of fact, you look to the Bible, the last days are not supposed to be days that get God's people down and defeated. They're supposed to be days that get God's people excited. Amen. Where we start looking up and saying, listen, it could be today. It could be now. It could be any moment we see the coming of the Lord. Amen. As a matter of fact, whenever he wrote in Thessalonians, talk about the darkness of the last days and all the things that would be going on in the last days, right before the rapture, he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Listen, bro, let me comfort you tonight. There's a great falling away. Amen. And the days are getting dark and things are getting bad and sin's abounding and wickedness is abounding. But don't be defeated by that. Be comforted by that. The Bible is true. Jesus is coming. Amen. And in these last days, we still have the same mission. We still have the same command. And that's what we're going. We're just going on our last commands. We're going on the last thing God told us to do. We're going on the last thing Jesus told us to do. And until we get a different command, until we get a different post, until we're told to do something different, we ought to just keep on doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. Amen? And the last thing Jesus told us to do was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? And that is our mission. And so as we look in these verses, we find the commission of missions. And the commission of missions is still our mission. Amen? Our mission is missions. Now, each one of us has a ministry, and that ministry ultimately is the ministry of missions. Amen. You have got a ministry. If you don't know what your ministry is, you need to find out what it is. Amen. God saved you and me and all of us to do something, but He saved us to do something connected to missions. Amen. Listen, thank God He does provide, and thank God He pays our bills, and thank God we've got all kinds of things. You know, we've got more than any of us deserve materially, but that's not why God saved us. Amen? He didn't save us so we could heap up goods and material things. He didn't save us so we could all have fine houses and drive fine cars. I thank God for those things. They're wonderful, and the Lord has been good to give it to us. Amen? But that is not the reason He saved us to give us those things. He saved us and He's working in our lives to ultimately get the gospel out, to fulfill the Great Commission, to get missions out, to get the gospel and to fulfill the mission of missions in this world. That's why you're saved tonight. That's why you're saved. That's our goal. That is our direction, is to fulfill the ministry of missions. And we find that right here in this passage. Matter of fact, right down through this passage, in verse number 15, we see the ministry of missions is sustained by the grace of God. Amen? That's what the Apostle Paul said, by the grace that was given unto me by God. Listen, if the mission will ever be fulfilled, if the gospel will ever go out, it's going to be by the grace of God. Isn't that right? The ministry will be sustained by the grace of God. Everything we have is of grace. Everything we are is of grace. And everything will ever be is of grace. Amen. And if we'll ever fulfill the ministry of missions, it's going to be by the grace of God that helps us do it. Amen. And so the ministry is sustained by the grace of God. But then we see that the ministry is spreading the gospel of Christ in verse number 16. That is the ministry. If you ever wonder what the ministry is preaching the gospel. There's a lot of things that go along with it that are connected to it, but ultimately the main goal is to take this King James Bible and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. Amen. Again, there's a lot of things that go on around that, but that's always got to be the main goal and main focus of our ministry, because that is the ministry. You have no ministry if you don't have that. You've got a social club, maybe. Amen? But if you've got a ministry, the only ministry and the only real church is a ministry in a church that is doing what it can to get the gospel out to its local Jerusalem and to Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? It's the gospel. And then we see it, the ministry is sanctified by the Spirit of God in verse 16 and verse number 19. Amen? Listen, the Spirit of God is who empowers the ministry of the gospel. We'll never get anything accomplished without the Spirit of God and the power of God. Everything done in the flesh is sin. We've already seen that in the book of Romans. Listen, everything that's done in the flesh will fail too. Amen? I don't care how big of a crowd we ever build. If we don't do it by the Spirit and the power of God, if God doesn't do it, it will not be done, and it will not be of any eternal value, anything that we do. Amen? It's sanctified by the Spirit of God. Now, what we see in this passage is we see the basic ingredients of missions here. And boiled down to their most basic form, we actually see them from, we see the ministry of missions from God's perspective and from man's perspective. Boiled down to their most basic, idea of biblical missions. From God's perspective, it's boiled down from the divine perspective of God, grace, and the gospel. I mean, its simplest form, missions, has to do, from God's perspective, is God and grace and the gospel. That's what you got out. You got those three things. And then from the human perspective, boiled down, is you have people, places, and preaching. That's the most basic boiled down version of what missions is. You gotta have God from His perspective, you gotta have Him, you gotta have His grace, and you gotta have the gospel. Amen? By the way, that's why it's so important that we have the right gospel and the right God, and that's why we're leaning on His grace. Amen? And from the human perspective, what we're responsible for, what we're expected to do by God, is to have a people that we're preaching to, a place that we're going to, and something that we're doing, and that is preaching. Amen? That's God, that is the gospel. We're commanded to go into all the world and preach. And preach. Now He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is the good news that man can be saved from his sin. Amen? Isn't that right? And our command by our Lord and Savior, just before He ascended back to heaven, was that command, go into all the world. And there's not been a new command come yet. This Bible's been fulfilled. All the letters have been written. All the Scripture's been guided by the hand of God. It's been all put together in the canon of the Scriptures for you and for me. And there's no different command than what we got from Jesus whenever He left. And until we get something different from God, we're to stay the same course. Amen. It's to be our goal. It's to be our target. And anything else that sidetracks us, that becomes bigger than that, we have gotten off course. Not just as a church. Now, I'm talking as a church, you know, generally, but I'm talking about you and me individually as Christians as well. Listen, everything we do in the Christian life, we do for the sake of the gospel. The sake of the gospel. Listen, we don't live a separated life. We preach separation a lot, and we believe it, don't we? But we don't live a separated life so that we feel spiritual and we appear spiritual and we look religious and we're, you know, higher and better than somebody. That is not at all why we do it for the sake of the gospel, for the glory of God and the sake of the gospel. We do it because if we don't do it, we won't reach anybody with the gospel. Isn't that right? Listen, that's why separation is such an important doctrine. Because for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. Listen, that's why the King James Bible is such an important doctrine. Listen, not because we want to be, you know, contentious and because we just want to nail down one version, not even just because we believe it, therefore, you know, that's just what we're going to stick to. Listen, we believe it and we're going to stick to it, but we don't do it just for those things in and of themselves. We do it for the sake of the gospel, because if you don't have a Bible, then you don't have the gospel, amen? And without the Bible, you don't have faith, amen? Listen, no one will ever be saved without the gospel, and you won't have the gospel without the Bible, and you don't have a Bible without a King James. Isn't that right? And so we do it for the sake of the gospel. It's all about getting the gospel out. Everything we do, individually, as families, as a church collectively, everything must be done with the gospel in our mind and in our heart. Amen. For the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel. That is why God's people live. That is why we live. That is why we are here. For those two reasons. For the glory of God and the sake of the gospel. Now, again, we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Gentile nations had a missionary preacher in the man by the name of Paul. We find that very clearly right here in this passage and in many other passages all throughout the New Testament under Paul's writings. We find him as the apostle to the Gentiles. And don't you know those Gentile nations would be thankful to have a missionary preacher in Paul? Amen. I mean, what a great preacher to have. Amen. What a great apostle to have in Paul. But it begs the question, what people or what person has got you as their missionary preacher? What person or what people? Because here's the thing. All of us have a person or a people. We all have a person. We all have a place. And we all ought to preach. Isn't that what the gospel, missions, that's what we just said, boiled down to its most basic form, involves people, places, involves a people, a place, and preaching. And every one of us has got that. You have got a people that God has given you. And there's a people that God's given you to them. You are their missionary. You may be one of many. You may be one of multiple. But somebody out there is looking to you. They may or may not even realize it. But under God's, you know, His prophetic timeline, He looked ahead and He put you in the path of somebody to be their missionary. Every one of us. See, missionaries are not people that go to the deepest jungles in the middle of nowhere. Those are missionaries, but they're not the only missionaries. And that's not the only kind of missions. Amen? Listen, there are missions over there, and there are missions here. We're all missionaries. We're all to preach the gospel. We're all to be reaching somebody, and we've all got a people, and we've all got a place that God's planted us, and we're to be reaching those people and reaching that place, and we're doing it with the preaching of the gospel. That's how we do it. And so that's the question. Who has you as their missionary? And are they being reached? I'm not saying are they being saved. Because the majority of people that we quote-unquote reach or witness to or give the gospel to won't be saved. I mean, that's just a fact. I wish that wasn't so, but I mean, it's the reality. But reaching them with the gospel is getting them the gospel. See, God never called us to make the gospel acceptable. He called us to make it available. To reach is to get it there. To reach is to preach. Amen? To get it to them. So we see here the ministry that Paul received from God as an apostle. That's what he's dealing with here. He's dealing with his ministry, and he's kind of giving his final testimonies. He's closing this letter, and we see his ministry that he received straight from God as an apostle. And we know we don't have apostles now. We understand that. But you do know that to some degree, the same ministry that Paul received from God as an apostle, to some degree, it's the same ministry that we all have received from God. And we're not apostles, we understand that. And we're not even all preachers in terms of the office of a preacher. We're not all pastors, we understand that. But we are all saved we're all God's children if we're saved. If you're saved, amen. If you're saved, and if you're saved, you've got the same mission as the Apostle Paul had, to preach the gospel. And I want to say it involves four things in this passage, and I want to point them out to you and make a comment or two, and then we'll be done. The ministry that the Apostle Paul received from God as an apostle, to some degree, is the same ministry that you have, and it involves four things here. Not just in the Apostle Paul's ministry, but in your ministry. First of all, it involves grace. That's in verse 15 and 16. He says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." He said it was all done because of the grace that was given to him by God. Listen to me. Your ministry that you have, just like the same ministry that Paul supplied, listen, fulfilling is going to be through grace. It's going to involve grace. And in verse number 15, the grace that was given to Paul of God, it involved two things. It involved his conversion. That certainly was of grace, wasn't it? Amen. Paul wouldn't have even been who it was had he not been converted by the grace of God. But it not only involved his conversion, but it involved his commission too. Amen. It involves that commission from God that God will put in the heart of every Christian to get the gospel out. And we are all commissioned. Amen. And his ministry started and was sustained and will end by the grace of God. And so it is with us. If you're going to make it, if I'm going to make it, if we're going to be the ministers of the gospel that God wants us to be, it's going to be by his grace. It's not going to be what we do. And it's not going to be us pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. And it's not going to be our programs. And I'm not even against programs. Amen? I'm for programs until you program God out of it. Amen? Listen, if God gives it to you and if you can do it and be a blessing, then do it. Praise God. But don't leave God out. Amen? And see, our programs will do nothing in eternity. Listen, our things that we do will do nothing in eternity. It's got to have God in it. Amen? It's got to be done by grace. Verse 16, we see his commission really could be boiled down to one sentence. You read verse 16, and you could boil that entire commission right there down to one sentence, and it's this, that Paul was sent by God to the Gentiles with the gospel. If you was just to boil it down, he was sent by God to the Gentiles with the gospel. And you know, your commission could be boiled down to one sentence just like that too. That you have been sent by God to a people with the gospel. And the people that God has sent you to and the place that God has put you is not the same people and it's not the same place that God's given to me. I dealt with this Sunday night, but listen, there are people that you can influence and affect that I could never influence and affect. I mean, God's put us in different places. God's put us in different, even in the same city, even the same church. God has given us all a ministry. And I can't do your ministry, and you sure can't fulfill my ministry. Amen? Amen? But we are responsible, and I believe with all my heart, we will stand before God, I will, and you will stand before God and give an account for the people and the place that He sent you to get the gospel to. And you say, right here in Amory? You're right here in my school in the South, right here on my job in the South? Oh yeah, right here. Right here. See, and I know that it's right here because if it wasn't right here, you know what God'd do? He'd send you somewhere else. He'd send you somewhere else. God still calls missionaries. He still calls them to foreign fields. He still calls them to plant churches. He still talks. Listen, God still calls that. And God could call you. God could call you. Provided you're qualified, provided you're willing, and provided you would accept the call and respond to the call, God could call you. Amen? But if He hasn't called you, then you're right where He wants you to be. So He's got you in a place, He's got you a people, and He's got you a gospel to preach. Amen? And so you and I will give an account for the place and the people that God has put us to reach. Amen? And it's all of grace. It's all going to be of grace. The second thing we see that's involved with the commission of missions in our ministry, it not only involves grace, but it involves glory. Look in verse number 17. Paul says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. So, involved with the ministry of missions and the commission of missions. And by the way, I keep framing it that way because I want it to be taken very personally because it's supposed to be taken very personally. This whole idea of missions, I think, gets so big in our mind to where it's all about missionaries and giving and faith promise. And those things are certainly involved in missions. Thank God for it. Listen, if we can't all go, but we can send. Amen? But listen, we've got somewhere we've got to go right here. Amen. And so I'm just saying, if we're not careful, we get so big and so unpersonal. But the thing is, it is personal. It's personal with all of us. Our ministry is that of the gospel, mine and yours, and all of us. And it involves this thing of glory. And when I say this thing of glory, it involves glorying in the right things. If you ever fulfill your ministry, it's going to involve the right glory. See, Paul didn't glory in worldly things. Everything the Apostle Paul, everything you ever find him glorying in his writings, which were inspired by God, everything he ever gloried in were always connected to very specific things. And it was never connected to anything of the world. It was always connected to things that had eternal value, were the things that he gloried in. The first thing we see right here, we actually see three things right here that he gloried in, just right here in this passage. And the first thing, in regards to the things that he gloried in, it was always connected to holiness. Verse 17, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. In other words, if it didn't pertain to God, it didn't matter to the Apostle Paul. He didn't care. He didn't glory in it. It wasn't a big deal. Listen, he never gloried in how many points he made in some game. He never gloried in how much money he ever made. He never gloried in his success in this world. He never gloried in anything like that. He gloried in the things that pertain to God. That's what mattered. You know, I think that's the way we're going to have to get this place we're going to have to get to if we're going to start living in victory and seeing God work and seeing God get us down the road for God. Listen, we're going to get disconnected from this world and quit glorying in things that are going to burn up one of these days. Amen? Paul never gloried in all in money and fame and popularity and friends and all that stuff. He never gloried in a lot of the goofy things that we glory in. He had his attention on the right things, and that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to get disconnected from this world and get our sights set on heavenly things and glory in that which pertains to God. Get to the place in our life where the only thing that really matters is the things that matters to God. Amen. It involves glory, and he gloried in holiness. But then, not only that, but he gloried in humility, things that were connected to humility. In verse 18, he says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought in me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders," look at this, "by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." The Apostle Paul never took credit for what anybody did or what God did through him. He never took credit for anything God did in his ministry. He never took any credit for any soul saved. He never took credit for any ministry he built. He never took credit for anything. It was always done. He always made very careful to point out that it was done by the power and the Spirit of God, or by the grace of God. As a matter of fact, at one point he just summed it all up and said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. Everything I am is because of the Lord." In other words, he walked in humility. And boy, that's something that's kind of long gone in the realm of Christianity today. Everybody wants to have their name on their ministry. Everybody wants to have their picture on the flyer. Amen. Everybody wants to have their church to be the great church, you know. Nobody can do anything for God without taking a picture and putting it on Instagram so everybody knows. Nobody can read their Bible and pray anymore without taking that desk photo of their Bible open, you know, with their cup of coffee, you know, to make sure everybody knows, "I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying and I'm walking with God," you know. Make sure everybody knows how spiritual I am. You know, people can't, it's like we can't even do that anymore. It's like it's all about getting the glory. It's all about getting the glory. Paul never gloried in any of those things. He gloried in the cross of Christ. He gloried in the power of God. He gloried in what God did. And if he ever did anything, he gloried in what God did through him, not what he did. Amen. I'm trying to think of who said it, but it was said, you know, or it's been said, a pretty famous quote through the years, that, you know, it's still yet to be seen what can be done whenever someone does not care who gets the credit. It's yet to be seen how much can be accomplished whenever people just don't, or somebody does not care who gets the credit for it. Well, I tell you, that's where the Apostle Paul was at. He never gloried in himself. And then number three, he gloried. His glory was always connected to holiness, connected to humility, and then it was always connected to honesty. Verse 19, he says, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." He's very open, very transparent about his map,
where he's been, where he's going. He's actually going to go into the details of where he plans to go and his method. What he's been doing, what he's going to do. He's going to preach. This is what I've been doing. This is what I'm going to do. And or this is where I've been. This is where I'm going. This is what I've been doing. This is what I'm going to do. I mean, this is it. He's just open and honest about what his life was all about. And that is serving God. It's just all about serving God. You know, I have found this to be the case, that if you can't be open and honest about it, God's not in it. If it's a ministry or it's an individual or whatever, if there's not openness and honesty, God's not in it. Listen, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Amen. Isn't that right? That little song that we all sang in Sunday school, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. See, that's why it's so important that we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of who we are. We're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of being old-time Baptists. We're not ashamed of being old-fashioned. We're not ashamed. Listen, it's important. Amen. Not just because of an ego trip, but it is important that we are not ashamed of who and what we are. Because we are what we are by the grace of God. If God hadn't been gracious and merciful to you and to me, we wouldn't be what we are. Amen. And that's why I believe very strongly that by the grace of God, well, I'll never wobble on the axle. I'll never get off path by His grace. Because His grace is what's got me here, and His grace is what'll keep me going. And so there's no need for me or you or any of us to ever be ashamed of what we are. We ought to just be open, be honest about it. Because, I mean, the truth is, if you can't be open and honest, then God's not in it. Amen. Number three, we see the grace that is involved. We see glory that is involved. Number three, we see the goal that is involved. He said, yea, in verse number 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. The goal here, the aim, was to just preach the gospel of Christ. That's what his life was all about. He started out that way in chapter 1 of Romans. No, it never changed. He was the same from beginning to the end. He started out in Romans chapter 1, verse number 15, Romans 1:15, starting out the book, he said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And then now, at the end of the book, in the conclusion, he gets right back to it, that my aim is to preach the gospel. That's what it was all about. Paul dealt with a lot of different things. God used him to write about a lot of different things in recording Scripture. But it always gets back to the gospel. That was his heart. And see, he is our pattern. He is that's the way our life should be as well. Now, in regard to this goal, in regard to the gospel, you know, again, we can't all specifically go. But just because we can't all specifically go to some foreign land or be an actual, you know, as far as the position, the office of a missionary, whatever, it ought to be our goals. We may not be able to go, but it ought to be our goal. It ought to be our goal to reach our people in our place with the gospel. It ought to be our goal to see everybody in our area reach with the gospel. And it ought to be our goal to see the whole world reach for the gospel. And whatever we've got to do to accomplish all those things, that ought to be our goal. That ought to be the desire and the passion of our heart. Because there's one thing that's true. The gospel is, and missions is very near to the heart of God. Amen. And so, we must have that goal. We can't go. We can't all go. The ones that... Or we can go to the ones that God gave us, and we can send to the ones that God gave somebody else. The goal, and last of all, very quickly, there's the guidance here. In verse number 21, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, but as it is written, there's the guidance, kind of boiled down to one statement, as it is written. You know, everything in our life ought to always get back to that phrase. As it is written. I dealt with that Sunday night. You know, that every question, even if it's a persecuting question, Someone trying to entrap you or make fun of you or whatever. Listen, what they mean for evil, God means for good. Every question, every situation like that, it is a wide open door of opportunity to preach the gospel and to be a witness and to let your light so shine. But you know what? But what the response always ought to be? The response always ought to be that statement right there, as it is written. In other words, let me tell you what the Bible says. That was his guidance. He said, as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. See, God, through the Apostle Paul's ministry, is fulfilling Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. That's where that verse is quoted from, what he just wrote there. That's a quote from Isaiah 52, verse 15. And it was a prophecy regarding the fact that it was a prophecy in the Old Testament regarding the fact that the gospel would wind up going to the Gentiles. And so God, using the Apostle Paul's ministry, is fulfilling that prophecy. And what Paul does is points to this Old Testament prophecy when discussing his ministry. In other words, the validation of his ministry, he goes back to the Bible. And the validation of anything we do, the validation of anything we preach, the validation of the way we live, it all ought to go back to the Bible. And I know that's such simple preaching, but boy, we've gotten so far from that. I mean, it'd be amazing what God could do if that's just the way that we lived our life. Everything we did it through the lens of the Word of God. Amen. And so the great example here is that our lives and ministries must be solidly founded on the Word of God. So we see in Paul the commission to us all here. And it begs the question, the final question is, it gets right back to it, are you being the missionary that God wants you to be? Are you being the missionary God wants you to be? Because we have a commission for missions. It's still our mission. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it and help us, Father, to be what you want us to be. Lord, even in these last days, we're still here, Lord, with the same command, the same commission, Lord, to walk on, Lord, in confidence and in power and in victory, Lord, preaching the gospel in these dark days. And I pray that you would help us to continue to do so. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for any of us, Lord, the areas that we have lacked, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be and do what you'd have us to do, Lord, to be sensitive to your leadership and to be committed, Lord, unto you and to the gospel. Lord, we thank you for this time to be in church and the fellowship we've had with one another. Bless us as we leave this place. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.